Hi, welcome to Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt. Today, well, it's the last book in the 39 Clues series. It's titled Into the Gauntlet. Margaret Peterson Haddix, she's with us. Margaret, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, now, the 39 Clues. How many of these 10 books did you write, or is this the only one?
This is the only one of the 39 Clues series that I wrote, and it was actually quite nice to do it that way because wonderful other authors wrote the first nine, and I came in at the 10th book, and I was feeling fresh and excited about doing it instead of feeling exhausted and like I'd just written nine books.
Give me the history about the 39 Clues, some of the authors have written more than one book.
Correct. Rick Riordan, who did the Lightning Thief and all those great books, wrote the first book and did an outline for the books after that. And then Gordon Corman, Peter Larangas, and Jude Watson all did two books apiece. Patrick Harmon did a book, Linda Sue Park did a book, and I did a book. So that's seven of us all together.
All right, Margaret, how did they come to you and say, hey, Margaret, how would you like to write the last of the 39 Clues series?
That's pretty much how they did it. It was that they asked me if I would be interested in doing it. And at that point, when they first approached me, I didn't know what 39 Clues was. The first book was not out yet.
You didn't have a clue.
I literally did not have a clue, exactly. That was an easy joke there for you to throw out there. But it was by the time they kind of, I had some time since it was the last book. And so I was able to read the first two books before I had to give them an answer. And so after reading the first two and seeing what a fun series it was going to be, I thought, okay, this would be a fun thing to sign on to.
Okay, this is supposed to be pretty seamless with the authors. You're not really supposed to know one author from the other. How much of a challenge was that for you?
It was kind of an interesting process, and I had never done anything like this before, so I wasn't sure myself how it was going to work. There was a lot of coordination that went on kind of behind the scenes with the editor at Scholastic, Rachel Griffiths, kind of coordinated all of us and made sure that we weren't changing characters' hair colors or weird things like that that would really make people think, this makes no sense whatsoever. The thing that was difficult about it was that the 7th, 8th, and 9th books were not done at the time that I needed to start my book. So, you know, I'd seen outlines and there were some things that had to be changed. And fortunately, Linda Sue Park, who did the 9th book, was kind of writing about the same time that I was. So we exchanged a lot of emails saying, okay, are you handling this or am I handling this? How is this going to work? And she was great to work with. So that was nice that it worked out that easily.
With 39 Clues, how much leeway do they give you with everything? Do they say, okay, you're going to be here, you're going to put this famous person in mm-hmm. here, or do you get kind of some chance to do that yourself?
There were certain things that were spelled out that I had to have my characters go to England, and the famous person that the book is centered around is William Shakespeare, and I love England. I love William Shakespeare, so it was no hardship to have to do those two things. And then I knew that there was going to be a gauntlet at the end that all the characters would have to go through. And those were the main things that I had to deal with. And beyond that, I had a lot of freedom, which was nice because then I could make up whatever I wanted to make up.
The kids in this book, the whole families, I guess, have been different places all around, from
right.
Egypt, England in this book. Did you pretty much have something on your wall, maybe a timeline that all this happened, or how did you know? How did you familiarize yourself with where they have been and where they're going?
Well, it was kind of a process of studying all the books that had come before, that I did read and take notes on everything. And I also went back to Scholastic and would say, okay, what's the date by now? How long has it taken them to do all this travel? And it was kind of funny figuring out, okay, well, how long does it take to get from, I don't know, Beijing to Johannesburg, South Africa? And details like that were kind of fun that they were figuring out, and it was fun for me to hear the answers to it. I actually did go to England to kind of look at these places that I knew I would have Dan and Amy go to and kind of figure out where the clues might be hidden. And that was a lot of fun for me to get to make that trip myself as well.
Of course, one of the clues in here, Shakespeare doing one of his most famous plays, Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. Not him necessarily, but the play.
The play is going on, yes.
In the same place that it was in the beginning. What was that like to see?
Well, that was a really fun thing to do because I went to the Globe Theater and saw Romeo and Juliet, and I probably would have used that play anyhow because it fit well with things, but it was just ideal that that was playing at the time that I was in England. And so it actually worked out very well because my husband and kids went with me, and my kids had both just studied it in school. So they had a lot of insight and were much more knowledgeable watching it. And I was kind of sitting there thinking, okay, now if the Cahills show up, how would that go? So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, because you had to think about what might be the exit, what kind of weapons you might use. I doubt if you could take weapons into the theater.
Yeah, they kind of frown on that.
All right, now, how about the kids? How about your kids? I mean, do they have more of an appreciation for Shakespeare after being to the Globe Theater?
I would hope so. I'm not sure. My kids are teenagers, so you can't always be sure that they're totally getting the appreciation, but I think it has to give you more of an appreciation to be there at the Globe Theater.
Margaret, Into the Gauntlet, your brand new book. Let's find out a little bit about the book.
Okay.
What's happening right off the bat?
Well, I'm trying not to give away too much because I know that not all of the listeners have either read it or read the earlier ones, but Amy and Dan, who are the main characters, are on this worldwide clue hunt where they're competing against some pretty nasty relatives, and they don't really know what they're hunting for. They just know that there's a big prize and that the most extreme power is linked to that, and that their family has kind of ruled the world for centuries. And when, by the time the book starts in London, they have just learned some somewhat devastating, somewhat helpful information. And so they're kind of blown away by what they found out and a little bit dispirited in terms of thinking, how are we ever going to actually win this? And I think that's probably about all I can say.
Wow. Well, you know, most people think of clowns as being scary. I think of maybe monkeys as being kind of scary also. You do have a monkey in your book, Into the Gauntlet. How did you come up with that character?
I'm really not sure. That was just one of those weird ideas that popped into my head that I thought the evil character who is using this monkey is kind of the person who type of person who uses any resource that she can and is fabulously wealthy. So I thought, well, of course she's got her own personal zoo, and she wouldn't just let the zoo animals lead nice lives. She'd use those animals. So that's how the monkey gets involved.
What kind of challenges do these kids have, not necessarily into this book, but all through the series?
Well, all through the series, they have the challenge. They are orphans, and their parents died under mysterious circumstances. And over the course of the series, they learn a lot more about the background of their parents' death and how it relates to the clue hunt that they're involved with. And at the beginning of the series, they have no idea of any of this. And so they're dealing with personal revelations and also explosions and disasters all along the way. So it's action-packed, but also there's an emotional impact for them as well.
Would you say like Indiana Jones on steroids?
Yeah, something like that. I've also heard the comparison of Dan Brown for kids, that it's you know, trying to solve these mysteries and figure everything out.
Margaret, let's find out a little bit about yourself, some of your books. How did you start as an author? And I guess we kind of talked about how you got into the 39 Clues.
Yeah. Well, I have had my first book published actually 15 years ago, so I've been doing this for quite a while. To go a little bit before that, I graduated from Miami University with a degree in journalism and also in creative writing and also history, just for the fun of it, and immediately started working as a newspaper reporter or newspaper journalist because I was a copy editor as well at various points, and did that for a while. And then fortunately, that gave me some ideas for the books that I wanted to write. And the first three books that I had published all grew out of my job as a newspaper reporter. And then pretty much that grew into a full-time job.
So what type of genre did you write?
Well, I have done a variety of things. A lot of it tends to be suspenseful and adventure. I've also done historic fiction. I've done realistic contemporary fiction. I've done science fiction. I've done something that could be classified as fantasy. I think I've tried to hit all the genres of fiction.
So you're not really getting bored writing?
Oh, no, no. I'm never getting bored writing.
The 39 Clues, what's going to happen to this series now that it's at the end, into the gauntlet, the end? Are they going to maybe keep going?
The door is left open for more to happen. And there are actually, this has been a huge secret that I'm very glad I can finally tell, because people have asked me and I've had to be very noncommittal. But there is another series that will follow this one.
So it's just not the bamboo that we put in your fingernails.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no torture devices are being used. It's going to be called Vespers Rising. That's another family that is perhaps even more evil than some of the Cahills.
I didn't think you could get any more evil.
I know, it's kind of hard. But that will start in April. The first book in that series will come out in April. And before that, in October, there's a book that's called The Black Book of Secrets that's coming out that kind of explains everything with the 39 Clues series and has some puzzles and games and extra interesting things for people to do.
All right, now with this new series coming out, the same authors? Or are they looking at different authors?
I'm not really sure what they're doing for the whole series. I know for the first book, they are using a couple of the authors who did the 39 Clues series. So I think there are three or four who will be writing that first book. So I think that will be a very interesting process. It'll be very interesting to see how that all comes out.
So how do you think it'd work? Have you ever worked with another author besides maybe some that you've worked on?
Well,
with this?
I know that lots of people have done situations where they've written books jointly with other people. I've never done anything like that. This is the most collaborative thing I've ever done. So it's a lot of fun because you can bounce ideas off the other person or other people. And there's also probably some control issues that might come up. So I'm sure they're working it out very well.
Margaret, in some of the other books that you've written, do you bounce things off other people, though, or is it pretty much just...
It kind of depends on the book. Some ideas I've bounced off other people. I have a group of friends that I meet with regularly who are also writers, and sometimes I bounce ideas off them. Sometimes I bounce ideas off people in my family. Sometimes if there's some research question that I have, I'll bounce some ideas off somebody who's an expert. I have a cousin who's a cop in Los Angeles, and I've asked her some very strange questions upon occasion, and she's always great about answering them. So it kind of depends on the book. Some just takes place in my own head, and others I do get a lot of input from other people.
Well, with the 39 Clues Into the Gauntlet, the last book, we talked a little bit about the research that you did in England, and also the research that you did with some of the other books that you've read.
Yes.
How much other research did you have to do with this?
Well, I also did a fair amount of research about Shakespeare and Shakespeare's life, and that was kind of fun. Some of the things I was looking for were things that I hoped kids would also find very interesting. Like one of the things that I found out when I was doing the research was that there are six signatures that experts are fairly certain were William Shakespeare's signature. You know, it's been authenticated. In none of them does he spell his name the same way. So here we have the greatest writer pretty much in the history of the world, and he can't spell his own name. And when I came across that bit of information, I thought, you know, Dan in 39 Clues is going to love this because it's just perfect, because kids struggle with spelling a lot of the time. And in Shakespeare's defense, there was not standardized spelling in his time. And if you read anything from that time period, nothing's spelled the same. And it's really confusing. But just the thought that he didn't even spell his own name the same way twice is pretty funny.
So when you were in England, or maybe your research, did you look at some of the authenticated manuscripts of Shakespeare?
I have seen them, not necessarily the original manuscripts, but, you know, the pictures of what those manuscripts look like. And I have looked at that kind of thing, yes.
So, I mean, the spelling in that, you couldn't really tell.
Yeah. It's kind of all over the place in terms of the spelling.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt. We're talking with Margaret Peterson Haddix, author of Into the Gauntlet, the last book of the 39 Clues. One of my favorite things in this book, and not all books have something like this, very few do. I don't even know if any do. But there are little cards in this book. Tell me a little bit about that.
There are. In the 39 Clues series is what's known as a multi-platform series, which I'm sure you've heard that term bandied about. In addition to the books, there are games online that kids can go to and play. They can find out which of the families they would be part of and learn additional clues in the online games. They can also go to the cards and kind of use them as trading cards, find out more information from the cards. So it's a lot of different ways to draw kids into reading.
They're putting themselves right into the series.
Exactly.
So do kids on the internet play with other kids, I guess? I mean, you know, is it a whole town in a sense? I mean, would I be playing against you if I went?
It would be in the sense that you could get that, but it's also you can just go and play on your own.
Okay. So, I mean, with doing that, do you need the books? Do you need a code number to get in? How do you do that?
You could go to the website and just find out that kind of thing, but, you know, I'm obviously partial to the books. I think it enriches the experience so much more to have read the books as well and to go back and forth between the things.
The 39 Clues, in production at all for movies or anything that you know?
Yes, there has been an option taken on it. Steven Spielberg has expressed interest in possibly directing, and I believe there's been work on a screenplay, but there's not any hard and fast date in terms of, you know, filming starts now and the movie will be out at this point. So it's progressing, but I can't give you any information as far as, okay, you can go to the theater on this particular date and you will be able to see the movie.
All right. Let's say you were Steven Spielberg. Who would you have as some of the starring roles in this?
Oh, you know, I am terrible at that. It's really a good thing that I am not a casting director. But I think you would definitely need to get very good kid actors because so many of the important roles would be the kids.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't even know the kid actors of the day. I mean, I might have in the 80s, but not really necessarily today. All right, well, you're finished with Into the Gauntlet. What's next for Margaret Peterson Haddix?
Well, I just, in addition to having this book just come out, I also had the third book in another series that I'm working on called The Missing. It just came out actually the week before this one, and that book is called Sabotaged. And I've already written the fourth book in that series, which is going to be called Torn. And I have just started writing the fifth book in that series, and I've written all of 12 pages so far. So I'm not really that far into it, but I'm having a lot of fun doing the research. There's a connection to Albert Einstein in that book, so it's kind of fun.
So you're staying with the rich and famous.
Yeah, exactly. Or at least definitely the notable and having an impact on history there.
Well, tell me about the series that you have. It is a series. Can you get the last book and get right into it?
With
yours.
With my series. I advise people to read the first book first because I think it makes more sense. I've tried to write each book that you could just pick up any of them and hopefully have it make sense. But the farther you get into a series, the harder it is to do that. So at a certain point, I say, please read the first book first. The first book in that series is called Found. And the premise of it is that this airplane shows up at a Midwestern airport, and it's not scheduled to be landing, and people can't figure out why it's there, and they step onto the plane and discover that there's no pilot, no crew, no flight attendants, but every seat is filled. Every seat has a baby in it. So 36 babies have shown up kind of out of nowhere.
So as your series goes along, do the babies continually grow, or is it...
Well, it skips ahead 13 years, and then these two 13-year-old boys that you can kind of figure out might have been the babies are discussing the fact that they were both adopted, and it goes from there as far as solving the mystery.
How long will your series be?
That's going to have 7 books in it.
7 books. Mm-hmm. So you've written standalone books, mm-hmm. and you've written series. You've also have been part of this series with the 39 Clues. What do you like the best? What do you like with doing a series? What do you like with doing standalone books?
Well, I like doing both, and it's kind of fun to bounce back and forth. Typically, I do one series book and one standalone book each year, and that kind of works well for me because that way I can enjoy the pleasures of both. With a standalone, it is nice that it's all in one book. You're not trying to plan, okay, what I'm going to be doing 7 books from now that's going to relate to this one. With the series, it is kind of fun that with every book I've ever written, there's always been some minor character that I thought they've got more of a story there, or there's some tangent that I would like to go off on, but I can't because it doesn't relate to this book. And with a series, I can kind of go off on those tangents and explore the minor characters and make them major characters in subsequent books. And that's always a lot of fun.
Margaret, you'd mentioned that you'd been in the newspaper business mm-hmm. for quite a while. Of course, with the internet and the way things are going, those jobs aren't there as much as they used to be. Where do you think the future is going there?
Oh, I wish I knew. I really hope, I love newspapers, and I really hope that they stay around. I think probably the odds are there will be more and more available online versus in the paper product. But I think it's, I'll get patriotic here, but I think it's very important that citizens know what's going on in the government and in their community and all of that. And I think newspapers have done a wonderful job over the years. They're not perfect, but I think they've done a great job of keeping people informed about what's important. And I really hope that that continues. I don't want to see it get to a situation where we have no source of good news.
It couldn't be a government conspiracy with yeah. getting rid of the papers.
Ooh, that sounds like a book.
Yeah, doesn't it? with maybe an airplane landing.
Yeah,
with,
somewhere in there.
All right, now, have you looked ahead maybe after your series that you have? And it almost sounds like supernatural, almost thriller type series. Mm-hmm. What's going to be after that series, or have you thought about that?
I haven't really figured that out, because I still have, after the book that I've only written 12 pages of, I definitely need to finish that book, and then I need to write 2 more in that series. So I haven't really thought too far ahead as far as what I do after that.
All right, the 39 Clues, this series. Of course, you're out on a book tour right mm-hmm. now, a real popular series with the kids. What have you been finding out on the book tours?
Well, since this book just came out last week, I haven't done a whole lot yet, but based on the events that I have done, and even before this book was out, when I would be doing other things with school kids and at bookstores and that kind of thing, and promoting my other books, I would often get questions from kids about the 39 Clues series. I found that they are very enthusiastic about it, and they really enjoy kind of the secrecy and mystery of it, and they have things figured out far beyond things that I was struggling with when I was writing it. You know, they've got it just right away. They know. They're sure this is how it's going to end, or they're sure that this character is going to do this or do that. And it's been very fun to see the level of enthusiasm that the kids have.
So how many kids get it right?
There have been some kids who have figured out quite a few things. I'll just say that.
All right. Now, growing up, I mean, the Hardy Boys were, it was quite the series at mm-hmm. the one time. 39 Clues, is that the series that's really taking over?
Well, that's probably a good comparison in a lot of ways, because that was Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew. Series like that were very popular when I was a kid, definitely. I think that I love to see kids latching on to books and becoming very passionate about that. And I think they tend to do that with series more easily than other books, because, you know, you finish the one book and then you can go to the next one. And they're very excited about that. And I think the 39 Clues series has already done that for a lot of kids. I've heard from people who have said, you know, my kid really wasn't a reader, and then they got started on this series, and they're really into it. And that's just wonderful to hear.
So how are kids getting into the 39 Clues series?
Well, a lot of schools and libraries have used the books kind of as springboards and pushed it along. So I think they've gotten it in that way. And I think some word of mouth has gone on that I was in New York last week promoting the books, and this one boy who was delightful and had probably knew the series better than I did. He just was a fount of information about things. He was talking about how he convinced some of his friends on the playground, oh, you've got to read these books. And they had, and they got as enthusiastic as he was. So that's wonderful to see, just word of mouth between the kids.
Margaret, 39 Clues, is this the first time that you've written for a younger audience?
Oh, no. All of my other books are for younger, for kids in general. I've got some that are actually even younger than this, kind of the 6 to 10 age range. A lot of my books are in the 8 to 12 age range, and then I also have some that are 12 and up.
Wow, how about that? So no stranger to the schools.
That's correct.
All right, if I wanted more information about the 39 Clues into the Gauntlet, book number 10, or even maybe the first 10, where do I go?
Well, you can go to the website, which is the39clues.com, and there is tons of information there. Lots of ways to get information about the books, lots of ways to get information about the cards and games online. All of that is available there.
Will I be able to read the first chapter of book 10?
That is a good question. I am not actually sure.
You may have to go to the website to find
you
out.
I may need to look that up myself.
All right, Margaret, your other books, they sound intriguing. If I want more information about that, I'm sure you have a website.
Sure, I do. It's haddocksbooks.com.
And when we go there, what are we going to see?
There's information if you want biographical information about me, if you want any information about any of the books that I've written, frequently asked questions about the books, in some cases with the books that have been used a lot in classrooms, some study guides that teachers can download and use in their classrooms. So just a variety of things.
Well, how about that? All right. Well, the brand new book, the 39 Clues series, it's the last book, Into the Gauntlet. That kind of bring a tear to your eye?
Yeah, it's kind of cool that it's the last book. And I think maybe not bringing a tear to my eye because I know that the adventures continue past that.
Ah, there you go. The 39 Clues, a series written by Margaret Peterson Haddox. Into the Gauntlet, book 10, of course, from the New York Times best-selling series. Margaret, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, you know, you've read the other books in the 39 Clues series. This is where you find out what's really happened. You're going to go to the Globe Theater, taking a Shakespeare play, and if you're not a fan of Shakespeare, I'm sure you will be after you read Into the Gauntlet by Margaret Peterson Haddox. You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt. Questions and concerns may be addressed to 2045 Gilbert Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45202.